to Unsightly Sessions, brought to you by MCB. I'm Felicia, and I'm here with my co-host, Deb.
Hey, everybody. We're joined today by our very special guests, Denny Huff and Kim Reese. They're both deeply involved in education and advocacy and done it for several years, so we're thrilled to have them here to share their experiences, and I'm sure we're going to learn a lot from them about advocacy and the process.
Thank you, ladies. Appreciate the opportunity to be on with you today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it also.
Let's start with the blind pension program. Denny, I know you're an expert in this area, so can we defer to you?
Well, I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I do have a little knowledge about it. The blind pension program was established in 1915, and at that time, the amount for a blind recipient was, I think, $2.50, and that was established in order for the blind not to have to solicit alms, to beg on the street or whatever, and I'm sure that that happened a lot back then. And actually, that's part of the application process that it says that we cannot solicit alms. So if you're receiving the blind pension and you're out begging for money, then you're disqualified. So, but it's developed over the years. The blind pension is financed through the property tax. 0.03% of the property tax each year is given to the blind pension fund. That's 3 cents on $100. And that fund increases every year. It should anyway. Sometimes it doesn't, but most of the time that it does. And in order to receive the blind pension, you first have to be a resident of Missouri and be a resident for at least 1 year. You have to be legally blind. The definition for legally blind is more stringent than it is for the state definition. You have to be almost totally blind in order to receive the blind pension. You also cannot have assets more than $30,000, and that does not include your home or the property that it sits on, but it does include any other property that you might own that's not adjacent to what your home sits on. It also includes your checking account, your savings account, any redeemable life insurance, any assets that you can turn in that does not total more than $30,000, you're eligible for that. Also, you cannot have a driver's license. Actually, some people in the past have had a driver's license and received the blind pension. They passed that law here just a few years ago. And also, as I said, it's based on your assets, not on your income. So those are the qualifications for the blind pension. And people have a lot of trouble sometimes getting the blind pension. It's just a lot of paperwork and everything. And actually, I've received two calls today with people needing assistance in the blind pension. One person has applied back in August and hasn't heard anything, but we have a good contact at the blind pension office in Warrenton, Missouri, Kristen. I can just give her a call or send her an email, and she gets right on it. And hopefully these people can be helped within a couple of days. So that's basically the story about the blind pension.
Well, and also, it's my understanding that the Missouri Council of the Blind had quite a bit to do with getting blind pension. There was a lawsuit several years ago and kind of had to fight for it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
There was a couple of things with the blind pension that MCB went to bat for. One was in 2012 when Governor Nixon was the governor of Missouri. They wanted to take away the Medicaid. Actually, the Medicaid was added to the blind pension back in the 70s. And it's actually the MoHealthNet with Medicaid. Medicaid is federal, MoHealthNet is, of course, state. And they wanted to take the Medicaid portion away from the blind pension, which would really have left a lot of people hurting because the Medicaid pays for their medication, pays for the doctor visit, pays for hospitalization. It would have really been very damaging to a blind pension recipient. But we had people that went to bat for us. Governor Nixon was one. He invited us to his office and talked about it. He had rallies throughout the state and invited us to be with him on that. We even had Charlie Brennan, the talk host for KMOX Radio. I believe he's retired now, but at that time, he had me on several times on his program talking about this. He established a petition online for people to go and sign. We had several thousand signatures. We sent mail to the legislature, Senate, and the House, and bombarded them with testimonies. And We really had a big fight on our hand at that time. We had a couple of senators that really wanted to take that away from us, but we were victorious in the end. They did not pass the bill. They killed it, and it just really went good for MCB for the advocacy that we did at that time. Now, the big one, though, was back in 2006 when I first became a member of MCB, and actually I was elected to the board of directors, and we as a board saw that we were not getting the increases in the blind pension that we were supposed to have. And this had gone on for 10 or 12 years that there was no increase. We had a specialist, a master CPA, my master accountant, to look into it. There's a formula that they use to evaluate or to figure out what the increase should be every year. And that formula is so complex that none of us here, especially myself, could never figure out what that increase could be by using that formula. So we had to have a master to look at it. And he did see that we were owed quite a bit of money in back pay for the blind pension. So we filed a suit against the state of Missouri in 2006. We had hired an attorney, Debbie Greider, who worked for us for commission. If we won anything, then she would be paid. Otherwise, it was a class action suit. It wasn't just for MCB, but it was a class action suit for anybody that received the blind pension. But the court decided that we could only go back 5 years for the statute of limitation. So anybody on the blind pension from 2001 to 2006 were eligible to receive something from this lawsuit. We fought this lawsuit for, I believe, 12 years. And finally, in 2018, we were victorious. We went to the Supreme Court, went through the court system several times. And it was just amazing how much work was put into this. To this lawsuit. We had Judge Patricia Joyce in Cole County. She presided over the proceedings, and we did finally win in 2018. We were awarded $19 million for the lawsuit, and MCB did not receive anything from that lawsuit. We did get reimbursed for our attorney fees, which was over $250,000 that we paid out. But the recipients of the blind pension, it was whether you were on for 1 year during that time between 2001 and 2006, whether you were on 1 year or for the entire time, you received some money. The most anybody received was a little over $4,000 apiece. And most people maybe received that much. But of course, the attorneys got their fee. And we also gave money to the St. Louis University Law School. They helped us quite a bit with research on the blind pension and on the laws and everything. So it was a great victory for MCB that we went to bat for the blind of Missouri and advocated for them. That's what our mission is, to help those in Missouri that are legally blind or visually impaired. And that's what MCB did. I was really proud of MCB for standing by it and seeing the fight to the end. We almost dropped the lawsuit in 2012, but the board voted to proceed with it, to go ahead with it. They didn't think we were going to get anything out of it, but some of the people did anyway. But there were some that really stood for it and voted to go ahead and proceed with the lawsuit. And so glad we did, because $19 million, nothing to sneeze about.
Right. Which kind of leads into some of our advocacy that's coming up, a trip to Jefferson City. We're going to be taking some bills up to the Capitol, and I was going to let Kim kind of talk about some of that. And you were talking about blind pension, and one of the bills has to do with keeping our blind pension.
Well, there's a few bills having to do with the blind pension, but first I'll start with our meeting is going to be February 9th, and that meeting consists of the affiliate reps for education advocacy. I looked at the bills, you know, looked to see which ones would affect the blind and low vision community. Then I bring them forward at the meeting, and the reps will vote whether they want to go forward with the bills that I suggested or not. So officially, we don't have that taken care of as of yet. But we go then to the Capitol this year on March 23rd and 24th. Tuesday, the 24th, is the actual day we go to visit the legislators. And that Monday, we have a meeting at 2 o'clock, basically just to refresh everyone's mind on the bills and all that. And each rep from the affiliates are responsible for making their appointments with the legislators and sending them thank you notes and all that in the end. I kind of gather who would go see who. And since we don't have as many affiliates as before, it's kind of limited. So we try to spread everyone out throughout Missouri. So you may not get your own legislators. We don't want them all being like all in one area. So we just kind of spread it out. And the bill you're probably referring to that we've been taking since I've been doing this, I think it started in 2018, is HB 2180 by Representative Griffith. And this is his last session because he's termed out. So he really wants to get this bill pushed through. He's been working on this for years to get it pushed through. And we appreciate his help on all of this. And this is where the notice is sent to the recipients or applicants of the blind pension that it has to be sent via certified mail. And instead, we would like it sent by regular U.S. Postal Service because it would save probably over $100,000 by doing this. And besides that, if the blind individual's not home that day and then they have to go to the post office, it puts a strain on them, possibly having to find a ride there. And there's a time limit on those certified mails to get back for the blind pension. So we're hoping that goes and moves forward. And we have a few other bills. We have Representative Young. Her bill is HB 2801. And this is where how many times an ophthalmologist may repeat an eye exam from 5 to 7 years. They're changing it. I also spoke with her office the other day to see about maybe changing some of that language to, if say, for example, you have no possibility of improvement, that maybe you don't have to go again if we can get the ophthalmologist to sign off on that. And that would save money too. Wouldn't be an expense having to go to an ophthalmologist. And let's see, Representative Shields, we have a bill with her that we're taking, and that's HB 2408. And it's grants for the deafblind. And this grant would allow, remove the cap on all the total grant amount so that the funds are allowed to be to go towards actual needs, not just any arbitrary limits on it. And it would give the states more, give them more flexibility on serving the deaf blind.
This affect the SSP program?
Yeah.
Or providing for, okay.
Yes. And last year we brought a position statement on it. There wasn't a bill, but this year there's an actual bill.
Oh, okay. Good.
So, and then we are bringing also HJR 147, which Representative Taylor in this is a constitutional amendment. And I will let Denny speak on this because he actually spoke to that representative. So I'll let him take that one.
Yeah, Kim, Representative Taylor is another one of our representatives that I think will really work with MCB. He is a sponsor of HJR 147. And I might add that the HJR stands for House Joint Resolution. And the JR means that there is also a bill in the Senate that is mirroring the bill in the House. And that is SJR, Senate Joint Resolution 112. Those bills are almost identical. And when I spoke to Representative Taylor, I told him, you know, that the property tax, of course, funds the blind pension. And if they do away with the property tax, which they have been talking about for a few years now, to eliminate a property tax in the state of Missouri, then where will the funding come from for the blind pension? There needs to be an alternate funding source for the blind pension. And that's what this bill would do. It would allow the Senate and the House to appropriate the money for the blind pension each year. And it cannot be any less, according to this bill, HJR 147, cannot be any less than what the amount will be in the 2026-2027 fiscal year, which in July, the blind pension should go up to $949 a month. So that amount would be the same amount that they would have to appropriate every year. Our concern as blind pension recipients, what about a cost of living? Every year the property tax goes up and we receive some type of increase. Actually, this year, if we get to $949, that's going to go up $32 a month from the $917 that it is now. But there's no guarantee in this bill that the language would say that there will be an increase every year for cost of living. I pointed that out to Representative Taylor, and he said he did recognize that after he filed the bill, and that he promised us that if there was not language in there to guarantee an increase every year, cost of living increase, that he would kill the bill. And hopefully he will follow through with that. But that is HJR 147. It just changes the Constitution from the payment through the property tax to it being allocated by the Senate and the House, by the legislatures every year. So it's still in the Constitution, but as I said, it doesn't guarantee that we would have an increase. And that's what we're going to be taking to the legislature this year, this bill, mainly HJR 147.
Actually, I guess I could lead into that one, HJR 147 and also HB 2180. We are going to use the Speak For platform that ACB allows us to use. And I have been working with Claire Stanley and Denny Huff on, you know, these bills. So I think we finally might have it perfected almost. And hopefully by the beginning of next week, we can send that out to all the members. And so when I send this email out, it will have a link. And each member could click on the link. They fill out their name and address and zip code and all that. And it will have an email to the representatives and senators. And you can also put your own testimony in there. And if you wish, if you don't wish, you could just send it as is. That's up to you. And it will go to all the representatives in your district and senators. And I think this will help get things pushed through, and we can hit all of them, you know, in the House and the Senate easier than going. I do believe going, at least it helps, you know, they put a face with the issues. And I think that's a good, you should build relationships like that. But this will also help push our agendas through, you know, with these bills. And I'm hoping that the HB 2180 finishes this year. Last year, it made it all the way to the Senate committee, but not to the floor of the Senate. And I'm hoping this year it gets pushed all the way through. And I'm hoping this Speak For will help us do that.
Now, I might mention here that MCB doesn't just advocate for these bills in February and March, but it's almost a year-long process. I know Kim begins work on it in November, December, when they first start filing these bills. She takes a look at what bills would affect the blind of Missouri, and she begins work on it at that time, contacting these senators and representatives, sending email, phone calls, letters, getting information about the bills. And she carries this on throughout until June or July, I guess, when the legislature finally dismissed for the session. But she does a lot of work. It's not just a one-time shot going to the Capitol, to the state, but it's a long process, and she does a lot of work on it.
Yeah, thank you, Denny. And yeah, it is a lot of work, but I enjoy it a whole lot. So, and I can thank Denny Huff for that, because he's the one that suggested I do this.
You do a great job, and you have some really good relationships with the representatives, and that's really amazing.
Yeah, Representative Griffith, he's been great with working with us with the certified mail bill. And then we also have Representative Young, and she's great. Anytime I want, she answers the calls and works with me. I've called her about trying to draft a bill for accessible kiosks and card readers. And I've also called her on stricter laws when someone harms a service animal. And she's been really receptive and great to work with.
I also want to add that it's important that any person get to know their representative or their senator. You might want to just take a trip to the state capitol and visit with your representative or senator, not just at the time that we're taking these bills and advocating at that time, but other times, just get to know them. Send them an email, write them a letter, give them a phone call, even when they're back in your area, maybe take them out for coffee. But establish a relationship with these gentlemen, these ladies that are working for us at the Capitol. They are people just like us. Don't be intimidated by them. Don't think that they're better than you are or whatever, that they'll look down on you. They're serving us. We're their constituents. We're the ones that vote for them. They want to serve their constituents in their area. So get to know them. I first met my representative at this present time, Brad Banderman, when I first visited with him. Myself and his mom dated one time back in high school, and I didn't know that that was his mother at that time. And then I also found out that one of his best friends that he goes to church with and hangs around with, I live in a duplex, and his best friend is right next to me in the duplex. And so we got to hit it off, and we have a great friendship now. Brad Banderman, he's a great guy, and he has gone to bat for us a couple of times already, and I'm planning on hitting him up this year for some of these bills that we have. But get to know your representative, your senator, and it really goes a long ways toward advocating for what you're advocating for.
Yeah, and if you're new doing it, don't be afraid to ask questions. Just be respectful, consistent, get to know the issue so you can talk about it. You don't need to be an expert. They like your personal experience, so if you could bring that to the table. Also, just when you first go in to meet with them, just talk to them socially before you get down to business. I always think that's a good plan of action. You get to know each other. And I think that way, and like Denny said, like you hit it off and you find things out that you have in common with them.
It reminds me of a story, and I love it because it made an impact on me, was the story you told, Denny, about the Tic Tac pill bottle. I was wondering if you could share that. It made an impact on me, and I wasn't there, and I thought that must have made a real impact on that representative.
Yep. We were taking a bill to the national about accessible pharmacy, because you know a lot of times we receive medication, we have no idea how to use it, or what it's used for, what the name of it is, anything about it, how often to take it, or whatever. So we were visiting Representative Lukemeyer at that time and talking to him, and I said, by the way, I've got to take my meds. Would you look at the direction for me? And I handed him a pill bottle. It had, as you said, Tic Tacs in it, but it didn't have any label on it at all. It was just a clear, plain bottle, medicine bottle. He looked at it and he said, well, there's no directions on here. And I said, well, that's my point, you know, that we don't see what needs to be done. We need accessible medication. So yeah, it did make an impression on him. It showed him that without that label, he couldn't see it either. And we're totally blind, and we need to know what to take, how to take it, and have accessible pharmacy.
I just always thought that was really a clever, creative way to make your point without, you know, in a nice way.
Right.
Yeah, that is a good idea. I'll have to keep that in mind. I'll have to steal that one from you, Denny. I went to state capitol to testify for accessible prescriptions, and I brought my script talk and the Braille information and all that I received, so that all pharmacies would have accessible prescriptions for the blind and low vision. And I was not allowed to bring props. That was the first time I brought props, so I didn't realize that. But they said afterwards, we can come look at it. And they did, and they were really impressed with it all. So I think that all helped to show them these things that help us manage our health safely and independently.
Sort of a sensitivity training moment.
And it is good also with props and different things to show them. When Denny and I both went to the leadership conference a couple of years ago, Denny showed, I think it was Senator Schmidt's office, showed them the Be My Eyes app, and that just really impressed them. And then last year, Carl Tiemann had his Meta glasses, and it was the same guy. He remembered us from the year before, and he was impressed with the Meta glasses. So each year we keep showing him something, and he remembers us. I think that's a great relationship that we're building there, and it impresses him. So you just need to show them your own experiences and talk with them like they're just normal people like you and I.
Right. And you are going to the Capitol for the leadership. You want to talk a little bit about the leadership conference coming up?
Yeah, the leadership conference is March 6th through the 11th. We go to the Capitol on March 10th to visit with the legislators. ACB, now they pick out the bills. I do not. That's their job. And this year, they're bringing the Website and Software Act accessibility. And they're also bringing the Communication Video Technology Accessibility Act and the Medical Non-Visual Accessibility Act. Those are the three bills we are bringing this year. We've been bringing those three probably the last couple of years. It takes a long time to get a bill through. And you might have seen Speak 4 that Claire Stanley has sent out. And I forwarded those emails to the list to click on for those bills, to push those bills forward. And I've been pretty versed in those bills. So hopefully we get them through eventually. But it's a marathon, not a sprint with bills. It takes a long time to get something done.
More than that.
Right. Like last year in Missouri, I think there was around 2,600 bills filed and only like 67 bills passed. And 24, only 28 bills passed. So not many pass through. There's so many bills filed and it's a long process.
So if you get somebody who's new, you guys have given a lot of
really good advice.
Yeah, good advice. And so is there any particular way that they can get started if
on how a bill gets started? So if you have an idea or a problem, you could present it to a legislator and they would write up the bill and then they would file it. And then it would go to the committee. So we'll just start with the House as an example. And so that would be an HB House bill. And it would go to committee for like a first read, which is usually like just the formal reading. And then second read, it's in committee. And a lot of times they have that you can come testify for the bill or against the bill or just informational. You don't have to be either way. You can just go for information to the hearing. And then if it passes through committee, it will be perfected and go to the floor. And then it's voted on in the House. And if it passes in the House, it goes to the Senate and the whole process starts all over again. And then if it goes to the Senate floor and it passes, it could go to the governor's desk to be signed or vetoed. Now, if the Senate makes any changes to the language, it would go back to the House for the House to approve and then back to the governor's desk to be signed or vetoed. So it's a long process.
Let me just say to someone that is new at advocating, visiting senators and representatives, or even if you're, you know, been doing it for several years, get to know the bill and be passionate about it. When you talk to your representative or your senator, be passionate about it. Show your feelings that you really want this to pass or to be defeated. They'll pay more attention to that than they would if you just kind of read from a script. I know when we go, we provide a script of what you can say about the bill, but get to know that bill, get your own wording, your own verbiage, and present it in a way that you know what you're talking about, and it's really going to affect you. And as I said, be passionate about it, and they'll listen to you a lot more if you do that.
That's really great advice.
Yeah, you don't have to be an expert. They like your personal experience.
Authenticity.
Yep.
That's great advice, because last year was my first year going, and it's a little overwhelming the first time.
Yeah, it is.
Well, guys, thank you so much for all the advice and the time you spent talking about the bills today. I really appreciate you guys coming in and chatting with us.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah, we appreciate the invitation. Anytime you have questions, anyone can call me. I'm here.
Well, we appreciate you guys. The dedication and the passion you put towards education advocacy, I think, is really important.
I'm just here to encourage Kim and keep her on the right track. She does all the work. She really does. So.
You've done a lot of work, too, and you passed the torch to Kim, huh?
Yeah, I think, Denny. I remember when the position came up, he said, why don't you do it? And I was like, oh, I don't know if I would be good at that, you know. But he's like, no, you'd be great. So I'm glad he pushed me into doing it, because it's something I really enjoy, and I found out I really have passion for it. So I'm really happy with doing the job.
She gets better every year at it. She really does. So,
well, you learn something new every year. So,
yeah, we've had a lot of good education advocacy chair people over the years. And I think Kim has probably been one of the best, but I'm not just saying that to butter her up or anything like that. But we have had some really good ones that are passionate about it and really wanted to get things done for the blind in Missouri. And that's how it all takes place, how we advocate Missouri is the best state in the nation to live in if you're a blind person, because we have so many great programs, the blind pension being probably at the top. I don't believe there's any other state in the nation that has a program like the blind pension. And of course, we have rehab services for the blind. I talked to a lady in Texas the other day, said that they don't have anything like that in Texas, rehab services down there. They have Texas Commission for the Blind, but it doesn't do as much as RSB does. And we also have Missouri Assistive Technology that provide the software and, in some cases, computers and braille displays and cell phones. It's a great program. I don't believe any other state has a program like that either. Of course, we have Missouri Council of the Blind. I know no other state has a program like that. Missouri is a great state to be in if you're blind.
Well, thank you both so much for all you do for Missouri Council of the Blind.
And I just want to say, I'm just one person looking at the bills. Sometimes things can sneak by me. So if anyone catches anything that I don't catch, you know, please give me a call and let me know so we can address it and hit it head on if there's an issue. And I also belong to Missouri Assistive Technology Advisory Council, and they are a great group, and they do a lot.
That's terrific.
Is there anything you guys don't do at this point?
Right.
Well, we're both a member of a new affiliate called Four Rivers Council of the Blind. Actually, I'm president. Kim is the vice president. And I think we've really gotten off to a good start. We were just organized year before last, I guess. But we've got about 20 members, and we got about three more wanting to join. And we've done a lot for this area, the Four Rivers area. But we enjoy working for the blind, doing things for the blind, and just doing whatever we can to make a nuisance of ourselves.
And Four Rivers has virtual, so it can cover all of Missouri, correct?
Right. Yeah, that's. I think we're the only affiliate that does. We don't meet in person. We do two or three times a year. We have events like our Christmas party, our barbecue in the fall, and our White Cane Walk in the spring. And I think we're also going to do in August have a dining in the dark, where the people can be blindfolded and try to eat without being able to see what they're eating. And that's going to take place in August, I believe. But we have a lot of different programs. We even had the Funny Bone going there for fundraising and had a blast doing that. And the Billiards Tournament, we have that in November every year. Well, not too many blind people participate in that, but there is a place in Lake St. Louis, Missouri, that offers their facilities, and they work with us in getting the tournament going. And we have like 30 participants during the Billiards Tournaments, and that lasts about all day. But good exposure and a lot of fun, really is.
And you guys also allow out-of-state members, right, for your affiliate?
We allow that, only they are not entitled to any of the benefits that Missouri Council of the Blind offers. They can just be a member for half the price of what we are. And the main thing is that they get to be associated with Four Rivers, and that's quite an honor.